Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program. And at this time, as we continue our studies of the life of Christ, we are today looking now at events of the last day. And today we're going to consider the betrayal by Judas and the arrest. And so this will conclude the portion of our studies surrounding Jesus' last days with his disciples. Our text is found in all four of the gospel accounts. Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 56. Mark chapter 14, verses 43 through 52. Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 53. And John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Now, primarily for our purposes today, we'll use Mark's account. In Mark 14, verses 43 through 52, if you'll join me there. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. So now let's go back and look further, and let's consider the arrest and the betrayal by Judas. Let's return to verse 43. And immediately, while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. So Judas arrives and he's guiding the mob that has been sent to arrest Jesus. The mob obviously expected a fight, since they were heavily armed. Judas would know that this was the location where Jesus and the other disciples would be located when we consider what John would tell us in his account. Now notice John 18, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. The following verses from John's account also point out that they were apparently afraid of the supernatural powers of Jesus. by their reaction when Jesus identifies himself. Now notice in John 18, beginning in verse 3. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Who are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." Now let's go back to our text and pick up in verse 44. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. This mob, by cowardly apprehending Jesus at night, it was possible that they might not recognize him. But Judas's signal of the kiss would make it clear and obvious as to which individual was Jesus. Judas thought his sign of affection would deceive Jesus into relaxing, and the mob might be able to take him with little or no incident before he could attempt something miraculous to save himself. Verse 46 says, "Then they laid their hands on him and took him." Now notice from Matthew's account that Jesus calls out Judas and exposes his wicked deed in Matthew 26 and verse 50. "But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Now back in our text, let's notice verse 47. "And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." John's account reveals to us that it was Peter that drew the sword and that it was Malchus that had his ear cut off. John 18 in verse 10. "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." Now Peter is not identified here except by John, possibly because, remember, John's account was written later than the other Gospels. Peter was still alive when these accounts were written, and many scholars believe that he is not named for his protection. To have revealed this could have possibly led to his arrest. But John, in his account, could freely mention Peter by name since he was already dead when the Gospel of John was written. Now verse 48, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." So Jesus rebukes the guards for coming after him like a thief, because he had taught them openly and they could have arrested him at any time. Jesus was certainly not a threat, and there was no need to use force to take him into custody. In fact, he could only be taken into custody if he willed it to be so. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 53. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion is thought to be 6,000. So thus, 12 legions would be 72,000. Like the young man with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, we sometimes just don't realize the power that lies with God. The young man thought they were alone. But notice in 2 Kings 6:17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. If Jesus did not want to be taken, he would not have left with the mob. But the scripture must be fulfilled. There was nothing the devil or Judas or any man could do to stop Jesus from fulfilling his mission. John chapter 10 and verse 35 says, "If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." And then in verse 50, "They all forsook him and fled." The disciples saw that they could not prevent his arrest. Jesus had forbidden them from defending him with the sword. In fact, Jesus had restored the severed ear of Malchus that Peter had cut off. Notice Luke 22 in verse 51. "But Jesus answered and said, Permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him." It is interesting to note that Matthew even included himself among those who forsook the Lord. Again, this is definitely a point for us to see the inspiration of the scriptures. Because with his own pen, what man would point out such a complete failure of his own? J.W. McGarvey wrote, he said, "If Jesus had been put to death after violent resistance, or after exhausting all means within his reach to escape death, he could not have preached to the world as a voluntary sacrifice for sins. And his cross, if robbed of this element, would have been robbed of the chief part of its power over man. The plot for his arrest was instigated by malice and tainted with hypocrisy. That it was rendered practical by bribery and corruption, as exhibited in the covenant with Judas, and that its execution was marked by cowardice, which usually attends corrupt transactions. All of these circumstances constitute an argument for his innocence by proving the malice, the hypocrisy, and the cowardice of his enemies. Now, last today, let's consider the young man in verses 51 and 52. Now, a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Some scholars believe this young man was actually Mark himself. The other accounts do not mention this. And it would certainly fit in with the inspiration of the writing that Matthew and Mark would record such unflattering remarks about themselves. So now let's consider some things as we begin to bring things together today. Jesus was betrayed by his close friend Judas. Jesus was betrayed by Judas because of his love of money. Jesus was betrayed by a kiss, a show of affection. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, a mistaken disciple. Jesus was betrayed by an overwrought follower, for Judas would soon kill himself from the guilt. And we, in fact, can be guilty of all of the above. Judas had been a disciple, but Satan used Judas to betray Jesus. Satan would take this one-time faithful disciple and use his love of money, his emotionalism, his mistaken ideas, and his selfishness to gain a foothold in the heart of Judas. He would also use very similar tactics shortly after this with Peter to move Peter to deny Jesus. We would do well to react to failure like Peter did rather than Judas. Let's close, as we have this reminder, with 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Indeed, let us be vigilant, because Satan desires to have you. I want to thank you for joining me today. We'll move forward next week, if the Lord wills, in our study as we begin to look at the Jewish trial. I hope you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.